T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
How do you like your pressure? Do you like your pressure in a rival? Do you like your pressure on a world stage? Do you love the pressure of a trade deadline? Do you like the pressure of a draft? Do you like the pressure that comes with training camp opening? We got pressure all around us, and what do you know? No pressure on the show today because we're all back together. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky for the first time in a long time. Everyone in the same room together. No pressure. No pressure to be great. How are you, Ray? How are you, Matt?
I'm fine.
I feel good. I feel like there's some pressure for a couple of things for me. The first, to not bleed from the face onto the microphone as a result of my recent medical procedure. And secondly, it's my first day back in a while. I got to be good.
Sinus pressure.
I do have sinus pressure. I feel great, Ray. I would happily describe this in more detail. I don't know if now is the time. We don't want to turn people off right at the beginning of the show, but I had a very interesting and successful procedure performed on Friday of last week to sort of clear my airways in my nose. And the process by which they do this is downright insane. So I'll tell you later and we can decide.
Did they have to break your nose to fix your nose?
Kinda. They did not break my nose per se. It is nasty. But most of the blood has bled, so I feel like I'm not going to bleed on the microphone, and that's progress.
You made me bleed my own blood?
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
We got an awful lot to get into today, fellas. 162 games in a major league season. God bless it. It builds in an awful lot of fluff. And baseball's beauty is kind of its blemish at the same time. It's rare that a game of baseball picked out in the regular season means an awful lot. There's a war that baseball is having with its own leisurely pace. And that's a stupid thing because it's built in. A leisurely pace is built in. And then every now and then you got to lean forward because it really matters. And the Dodgers and Giants get going again tonight. We got ourselves a very, very interesting baseball series coming up. The Giants and Dodgers, followed by the Giants and the Astros coming up. This is as much pressure as you could put on the regular season outcome in any series, any week of a homestand, and not pressing. You hear it all the time. Teams want to don't press when you're up there. Don't press when you're up there. That means basically don't give in to the real pressure that you do feel in this game. And they're going to – both the Dodgers and the Giants are under pressure to perform right now.
And the A's and Padres for a very similar reason.
Yep.
Because the A's are trying to hold on to what has become a very tenuous wild card spot. And San Diego needs to not fall further behind the two teams they're chasing. So I think you've got two series that demand our attention.
No question. Not to mention both series feature a lot of really good players, which is always something that demands my attention.
And new players, because the A's added a reliever today.
Yeah. Chafin, your guy, Damon.
There you go. Things are moving. Things are happening. I hear Max Scherzer getting linked to every team that would want a starting pitcher in the National League West. which I think even ups the ante on the Giants to need to get it done. Because if Max Scherzer goes to the Dodgers, if Max Scherzer goes to the Padres, woof, that changes things. So very, very interesting week in terms of all the pressures that could come to a major league lineup, a major league series, a major league front office, a major league trade deadline. Do you like the pressure? I hope the answer is yes. An awful lot of pressure comes with the dawn of NFL training camp. We got stories to talk about. We've got Jimmy Garoppolo apparently looking really good to settle in, and Trey Lance's deal to get done. A little pressure there. Trey Lance is not signed yet by the Niners, and obviously they'd like him in camp. We got some interesting stuff to hear from Kyle Shanahan today. The pressure that Bob Myers will be feeling come Thursday is significant. What the Warriors do at this particular time, it feels like the fork in the road between them reaching the Western Conference Finals again or just sort of being a team that was good but not good enough. So we have an awful lot to get into. Have you guys seen the latest where the Warriors – I saw NBA trade rumor. I mean, whatever that means these days, but the Warriors have been linked in a possible three-team trade involving the Knicks and the Wizards. Beal would end up a Warrior. Westbrook would end up a Knick. And then a combination of young talent and picks would be going back to the Washington franchise. And, man, there's an awful lot to just pick apart right there, along with all the other NBA trade rumors leading up to this draft. And apparently phones are ringing off the hook.
As they should be. I mean, that's when these guys earn the money that they make. You know, figure out how you fix whatever is ailing your team. And the only team that doesn't have to do that right now is Milwaukee.
And I would argue even they have to do it. Despite winning a title, there are still some things that ail that team as we look towards next year and the likely higher level of competition they may face. As far as the Warriors go, I think that phone's going to keep ringing all the way until Thursday at about 5:30. And as much as if I had to bet right now, I would bet the Warriors make both picks and keep them. I don't think we'll know for sure until maybe a couple hours after the draft. Because the nature of this sort of deadline is the offers get better when you get to the deadline. Like, in negotiating, right, when you buy a house, for instance, there's the concept of last best offer, okay? And when you're in the house buying process, someone might say, look, I need your last best offer, and you might trust them, you might not, you don't know. In a case like this where there's a hard, fast deadline on once you make those picks, if you're not making them on behalf of somebody else, they decrease in value because that person no longer necessarily gets exactly what they would have wanted. So with that deadline of the draft, that's when you're going to get your last best offers. And to me, the last best offer is the only thing that's going to have a chance of the Warriors making a huge deal. So what? I'd be very surprised if it happens in the next 24 hours.
Yeah. What might that offer be? You don't need to be first at the trough, but you got to make sure you eat the best when you get there. How do you go about doing that? And maybe you just go about doing that by taking a couple of rookies. It's so interesting to see this moment in time and how the Warriors end up playing it out. And again, if you like your pressure to come on the college level, how about the pressure of the entire landscape of college football about to change severely with the SEC hostile takeover of the Big 12, if you will? The Big 12, without Texas or Oklahoma, is basically the Mountain West Conference. I mean, there is not a lot there without the two of them. What will happen? How it could all have other dominoes falling around the world of what is because of college football, how college basketball looks at it, what might become of the Pac-12. My God, I read a story today that the Big Ten could be coming after USC. I mean, it's the wild, wild west in terms of what college could look like.
That's what we said, though. That's what we said. I remember I said that on this air when we first talked about Texas and Oklahoma, because the only conference that is even within shouting distance of the SEC is the Big Ten. So if I'm them, location be damned, I'm going after the biggest names in the country, and USC is one of them.
Well, going after the biggest markets, more like, which is why I've heard Washington, Seattle's a big market,
mm-hmm.
Eugene, which is not, but Oregon is its own market,
mm-hmm.
USC, and Colorado.
Yeah.
Because Colorado is Denver.
Yeah.
So
look, if the Bay Area cared about Stanford, they'd go after them too.
Well, but that's also true of Cal.
Yeah, and Stanford's just better.
And they're two teams that have always had aspirations. And in the case of Stanford, they have often met them.
Yeah.
And they still could get fronted out, even though they've got more money than any other school in the country other than Harvard.
Because it's really about fan interest, right? It's really about, if I'm the Big Ten, I want the teams that bring me fans.
Because, you know, the play that the Pac-12 made about 15 years ago to get Texas and Oklahoma, that would have changed that landscape as well. Although I would be willing to bet that even from the Pac-12, or Pac-14, if it could have been, Texas and Oklahoma would still make this move.
Yes.
It's a stunning moment in time to watch it play out in itself as a story, to then watch what the ripple effects will be, is going to be the next story that we're following over the course of two or three years here. It's a fascinating moment in time.
There are three schools in the country with a last name State who are immune to potential extinction. And that's Florida, Ohio, and Penn. And everybody else, if you're Iowa State, if you're Washington State, if you're Arizona State, you could be looking at a life in the Mountain West.
It's a fascinating time. Like we said, there is pressure coming from everywhere. The pressure that COVID has put on the Tokyo Olympics is extraordinary. I basically read in Forbes today that the best case scenario for Tokyo is that this isn't a super spreader event that derails the entire city's economy into the 2023 fiscal year because of just massive shutdowns. And obviously, the huge story coming from the United States Olympic team today is that Simone Biles has said enough. I mean, at this stage of an athletic endeavor, the size of the scope of the Olympics, to train your entire life for the Olympics and in the middle of the Olympics say, I need a minute, it just shows you what the pressure of being perfect is. And even for a woman who is clearly, measurably, provably the greatest living or dead gymnast of all time, the pressure even gets to her. And it's really a fascinating kind of case study.
There's an enormous story in the New York Times today about the pressure that she has felt since the Larry Nassar thing first broke.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is the only member of this U.S. team who survived that. Hmm. And she's been carrying that around for 4 years, plus everything else. So I'm not surprised that, you know, when you continue to heap more, you know, weight on her, that eventually even her body can't hold that up. I mean, because she's old for a gymnast at 24, but she's young for a human being at 24. And we collectively at AV have asked an extraordinary amount of her. So for whatever reason she decided to bail, good on her, because your job as a human being is to survive.
Sports pressure, local pressure, rivalry pressure, future pressure, deadline pressure, draft day pressure, sinus pressure.
Yeah.
All the pressure that you can put into a pressure-filled four-hour sports talk show, it's coming your way. Fran Fraschilla, Brian Kenny, under pressure to be two great guests for us today. I think they're going to absolutely fill the bill. If you are feeling a little pressure to make the right bet, check out the BetQL Network. It's available right now on the Odyssey mobile app. Check it out. Wagertainment for every fan, morning, noon, and night. BetQL Network. Streaming now on Odyssey. Download the app. Steal a cell phone. Download it there, too. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We're back together here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, there is pressure all around us. It's happening in sports, and nothing's ever easy in a world of COVID. We know that, and we haven't even started training camp for the 49ers. Camp officially opens tomorrow. And today, John Lynch, you know, met with the media along with Kyle Shanahan, and he was saying that they're very, very happy with their own vaccination rates.
Originally, everybody kind of had that goal of 85%. I'm proud to say I think we're up over 90%, and it really speaks to our players. We didn't, like, enforce anything. What we tried to do is just communicate with our guys and rely on the professionals to educate them as much as possible. So our guys really arrived at this individually and as a team, and we're proud of them for that.
It's good. It does seem like a lot of 49ers seem to be on board with the right decision to make. Not saying Emmanuel Mosley isn't one of those guys, but Tom Pelissero has just reported that Emmanuel Mosley has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, and that is the breaking news, again, before training camp even starts for the Niners. Around the NFL, did he report that there are 14 different players who have already hit the COVID list? So 13 of them. Okay, 15 is the total number. 14 of them have tested positive. So this isn't just a contact tracing, or maybe Emmanuel Mosley is the one out of the 15 guys that it is, but percentages say he's positive for COVID. So hopefully he's okay, and hopefully this is something that doesn't just derail the start of training camps all over the place.
And if they're over 90%, as Lynch said, it means some of the guys who caught it were vaccinated.
Yeah, that happens.
So, yeah, and that was the point. It's just that, you know, vaccination only lowers the percentage of chance you get, but it doesn't eliminate it. That's why you got to be careful.
I think Bill Simmons had an incredible analogy for this. I don't know if either of you guys heard it on his podcast. The way he put it was, a lot of people, when they saw the vaccine, he made the analogy to rattlesnakes. All right, let's say the virus is a bunch of rattlesnakes. And a lot of people saw the word vaccine and thought vaccine means no more rattlesnakes. But that's not what it means. In fact, it means there's still rattlesnakes everywhere, but we've taken their fangs away. Now, can a rattlesnake bite you without fangs? And might it hurt a little bit? Sure. Strong jaws, you know? And maybe we missed one fang out of every 1,000 or 10,000 rattlesnakes and maybe it'll still get you. But for the most part, the vaccine is taking the fangs out of the rattlesnake. So if you do get bit, you don't die.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great analogy. It really is. The choice between being bitten by a snake with venom and fangs or without should be an easy
one. Should be easy.
On its surface, on its face, you have a lot of people who have mistakenly put a point of pride and personal liberty in front of any semblance of being a good citizen. Good citizens are vaccinated. It's not just a choice you make for yourself. It's a choice that you make for your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. It's just the simple, easy, free, don't need to worry about it thing. And sports fans claim to understand analytics. What can you not understand of 99% of the hospitalized people with COVID right now are unvaccinated? You understand what 99% is?
Well, here's another one. Everybody got the polio vaccine when they were a kid. Polio still exists. You just don't see it very much.
Right.
So, you know, if you're expecting to debunk the notion of vaccines by saying, see, you still can get it. Well, yeah, you can. But your chances of getting it and getting it to the kind of degree where you go to the hospital is far less. So, you know, analytics aside, if you reduce your percentage of getting it or the severity of getting it, if you get it, why wouldn't you do that?
Seems a pretty easy decision. And again, for all we know, Emmanuel Moseley did that, and he'll be fine.
Yeah, and being who he is, a world-class athlete, has him in position to have a body that can fight this off, an immune system that can fight this off. Think about it. If you're a fat person, you probably do well in the cold. If you're a fat person with a parka, you do even better. The COVID, the vaccination is your parka. Put it on.
I think I'm going to count the number of ways that I need to be offended right now.
Just one more note here, and then we will move on because, like I said, we got real pressure all over the place. Right now, they're in an eighth consecutive day of record COVID positives back in Japan. Hospitalizations up 155% in the last week. Today, they reached a new high in the city of Tokyo, their worst since their worst day back in January. Reuters has reported that 146 coronavirus cases can already be traced back to the games alone in the Olympic Village. So we're watching all these pretty images that are weird enough because you don't see any fans in it. God, I read today how much this is costing Japan and all that, but the cost could be a trickling of the ability to come back to the point where their entire city's economy, due to this Olympics, is going to be in a $30 billion hole to begin with. And then if they have trouble restarting the economy because it's a lingering issue, which it will be in Japan much more than anywhere else because of their low vaccination rates, it's, oh, man, it's just a mess. It's a mess that is in a worse scenario than when they originally said we should postpone this, and everyone agreed on that. Now things are worse, and they said, let's go ahead and do it anyways. Not good.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a few, you know, big money people who are worried about today's dollar, and Japan said, okay, but we're going to ignore tomorrow's 20, to put it in simple terms. They could devastate their economy, not just in Tokyo, but in outlying regions, because they needed to make today's dollar. And as a result, they will regret having the Olympics in the same way that Montreal regretted having the Olympics when they had it, because their city was bankrupted. They've been paying off the Olympic debt for decades. And I don't know if they finally finished paying it off or if they're still paying the IOC, but they felt it. And that city is one of the reasons, and this will be another one, why cities just go, you know what, we don't need the Olympics.
So when do you think, I'm honestly curious, when do you think is the last time a city held an Olympics and when it was over was like, boy, are we glad we did that?
Oh, L.A. in 84, because they were the ones that, they were the ones who cashed in.
And they can still use a lot of the stadiums that were built, too.
Yeah, some of them, at least, certainly.
Lillehammer. Was the last Olympics that didn't say we need to spend in the billions to make it happen. So I don't think they jeopardized themselves financially. And, I mean, it put Lillehammer on the map.
That's true. I would not know what or where Lillehammer is without that. I bet they would not have put the, I can't believe, Little Stevie, Silvio.
Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah, Steve Van Zandt has a show called Lillehammer.
Oh, okay.
That I bet would not exist without the Winter Olympics. That's where I was headed with that.
Of course it wouldn't. Of course.
So maybe Lillehammer feels okay, but if it's just because they didn't have to spend as much, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
No, you're going to see authoritarian states be the only one who approach Olympics as really being interested in the near future. Or it'll be an uncontested, like I think Brisbane just was granted a summer games in the future. They were they outbid nobody. They were the only country that said, yeah, we'll do it, or city that said that we'll do it in a little bit. So, it's...
Yeah, 2032.
It ain't what it used to be. And neither is American Olympic exceptionalism, that's for sure. And we'll get back to all of this, but a little bit later on today, we got Brian Kenny from MLB Network stopping on by, talking about the deadline, the rivalry, Giants and Dodgers, huge, huge series, A's and Padres. How about this? John Heyman, also MLB Network, just tweeted that Scherzer's preferred list of teams to be traded to include the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres, and some other. but it has said more about the ability to win this year and going forward that he'd like a team that he could stay with more than just, you know, geography. So the bidding war between three National League West leaders is certainly possible.
Let me ask you this. Forget the bidding war part of it for a second. If I tell you, hey, what are you willing to offer for Max Scherzer? And you give me an answer. You don't have to answer it right now. And then I say, okay, but if you don't get him, the Dodgers will.
Yeah.
How much does it change what you're willing to give up?
So Ramos is in the conversation.
For sure.
I think. Yeah.
Probably. I know Bart's in the conversation.
Yeah. Bart's in the conversation.
Sure. I think the only guy who's not is Marco Luciano. I really believe that.
I think Ramos might be out of the conversation as well. But I'd say after that, how high do you want us to pile the stuff?
Yeah, because I got to say, if you tell me, and then is it still Mike Rizzo in Washington?
Yes.
He could just lie to me. But if I'm Farhan and you go, look, I'm going to need one more prospect or he's going to the Dodgers, I'm giving you that prospect unless it's Marco Luciano, because that could be division deciding, honestly. If Max Scherzer is going to either the Giants or the Dodgers, I would put my money on wherever he goes to win the division.
Yeah, I don't think that's you don't have to use your imagination.
Yeah.
To figure that one out, I don't think.
But let's ask a question, cuz I think this has to get asked too. How much of a disadvantage are you at if you're the first wild card team rather than
It's a good question.
Winning a division.
There's certainly higher variance, right?
Because unlike the A's, I think it's pretty clear that we know who the five teams advancing are, at least four of them. And the fifth one is going to have to win the NL East, which the Giants can't do.
Now,
so the question is, how
the
badly
cards?
Do you want to strip mine your farm system to win a division and have one more starter for the postseason?
Well, it's the one-game wild card again, right?
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty significant advantage to not have to do that, especially if you're competing for the division down the stretch and, say, Gausman goes on one of the last 3 days of the season and can't start, although the way he's going right now, maybe that's not even the right guy, but whoever, your best pitcher isn't available. I'd sure like to add some depth to that pitching staff, even if I guess I'd be more comfortable with Max Scherzer on the roster, even if I end up in the wild card game.
Right. And we have to acknowledge, too, that the Giants, as good as they are a little bit of a surprise. So you need to say, how do you keep this good surprise going? Or do you want it to just be a one and done? Scherzer is a guy that you bring in and then you sign to a 3-year deal. And he is your ace for the next 3 years. I mean, and you're going to need him if you're going to be this good, if you're this ahead of schedule, you need a pitcher like that.
But if you can get the same thing done by getting Jose Berrios and keeping Ramos and Luciano, wouldn't that be better?
Boy, is it? Could it even be called the same thing done, though? I mean, you got a guy in Berrios who's having his best season, and what that looks like is, in 20 games, a 3.48 ERA and a 1.044 WHIP, which, look, as an AL starter, that's really good. It's not in the same league as Scherzer.
No, but if all you need is a guy who can be your number two guy and makes you four deep in the postseason, Berrios can do that as well as Scherzer can.
I guess the question, though, is do you really need all those prospects? I mean, you want them. But isn't part of the reason you want them for exactly this?
But if you don't have a lot of them, because that's the other problem that they've got. They are not loaded with prospects.
Yeah.
They never are.
But they're more loaded than they have been. And right. By that, I mean there are five guys that they would feel bad about losing. In the past, that number was closer to zero.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, if you can't do it with Scherzer, you could still get it done.
You could. Scherzer shows up screaming, give me the ball, game 1 of the World Series, game 7 of the World Series. I have won these before. I have danced on this stage. I know what I'm doing. That's the promise of Scherzer.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. And frankly, that's exactly the kind of thing the Giants need. I mean, that describes exactly the kind of thing that they need. And for what it's worth, and Ray, this is confirming, not debating what you were just saying. I'm just pulling up minor league system rankings. I'm working on the Fangraphs one, but from MLB.com, before the draft that just happened, the Giants were 11th, which Ray's right. They're not top 10, but they're a heck of a lot better than that. I mean, they were in the 20s. High 20s for a long time. So, yeah, if you traded Joey Bart, the number 23 prospect in Major League Baseball, and Elio Ramos, the number 82 prospect in Major League Baseball, that's a big hit to your 11th, and maybe now you're the 17th best, but are you also one of the three teams most likely to win the World Series?
Unless Max Scherzer's hurt, who can you put him against to where you say, we definitely don't have the best pitcher today? I mean, that's it. You start Max Scherzer. What is the scenario where you're in trouble because the other team's a little bit better? Let's say Scherzer goes to the New York Mets. Scherzer, DeGrom, those two guys alone, all of a sudden now means they're a headache more than you ever planned on.
DeGrom's the answer to your initial question, right? For sure. I'm not sure there's anyone else. Maybe Walker Buehler's on the same footing.
Hopefully not tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's a guy who is on the Scherzer level probably, but it's a short list. I mean, Gausman has been for most of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing about Scherzer to me, if you're the Giants, is you're not entering into a bidding war with the Dodgers. You're entering into a bidding war with basically every big spender except the Yankees, because by all accounts, he's not going to waive his no trade to go to New York. But everywhere else, he could do Boston. He could do Tampa. If Tampa gets him, then we could stop talking, because they are now the best team in baseball.
Wow. That's a
so if the Giants
a strong take, Ray.
Here's the thing. If the Giants get him, are they the best team in baseball? Because they're the best team in baseball record-wise without him.
Do you believe in their bullpen?
I don't have no faith. If you're asking me who do you want more than Scherzer or Kimbrel, I think I'll take Scherzer.
I think I would too.
I think I'd take Scherzer. Either, how about this? Either way, boy, you're addressing a major need at the front of your staff or at the very end of your staff. And which is more important? Well, I guess it depends on how big your lead was in that postseason game. I mean, I don't know who would be most important on the moment, in the spot, but
I know Scherzer will pitch more innings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'll pitch fewer games.
Yeah. It's tough. It's really tough.
I mean, and I'm not opposed to them, you know, emptying out for Scherzer.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes with a certain amount of long-term risk that you got to really think about. And if you can get it done with somebody who doesn't strip mine your minor leagues or just puts a dent in it, I think you got to think about that just as hard, because, you know, for the four starts you're trying to buy, you know, you can get that with a lot of top end pitchers.
Here's another question that I think I want to ask. Joey Bart, who's a top 20-ish prospect in all of baseball, right? So clearly that guy has some value. We talk a lot with like the Warriors about how guys have more value to them than they would to other teams, Draymond, Wiggins, whatever. Is Joey Bart the opposite of that?
Well, because
he's the edge of a major league ready catcher. And Buster Posey looks like he's going to hang around a little while.
That's the thing. Buster Posey changed that equation more than Joey Bart did.
I'm not talking about Bart's quality when I'm saying this. I'm talking about Bart's opportunity.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to move him to first base, which I don't think he wants to do, and they've said they don't want to do, you got another catcher a couple years behind him that you drafted in the first round. How much value does Joey Bart have to the Giants? And if he's really seen as a top 20 prospect around the league, maybe that's more than what he's worth here. Just spitballing.
Well, your best farm system guy is only as good as your difficulty in replacing him. And if you can replace Joey Bart with somebody who might be a year farther down the path, but looks to be as good as Bart, yeah, you move him.
Right.
Here's the biggest question with Scherzer for me, and Lucas just got in my ear about it. Happy birthday, Max Scherzer.
Today.
Do you know what he turns today?
32.
Ray, you have a guess?
Oh, I think he's closer to 35.
He is closer to 35, but he's 37.
Ooh.
So if he wants a three-year extension, do you want to be paying a guy when he turns 40?
I mean,
now look, this year
it's Max Scherzer.
It's Max Scherzer, and this year Max Scherzer at 36-7 is as good as Max Scherzer has ever been, essentially.
Yeah.
So if he's like this, you'll have no problem paying him when he's 40. That being said, and look, the only season since 2014 where his ERA has been over 3 was in last year's COVID season. Like, the guy is nails.
He is, yeah.
But he's as old as it gets when it comes to a nails starting pitcher. So that is something to consider. It wouldn't slow me down much just based on what I've seen, but it's part of the consideration.
The long-term contract would probably stop me just because I have an old team already.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to replace these guys a lot sooner than 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, well, I think they'll be very interested in Scherzer, you know, just on the hell with it, let's go for it. There are other pitchers out there on the market who can do pretty much what Scherzer does over a short season, if you catch it right. And they play in a ballpark where being a good pitcher can make you a hell of a pitcher. Kevin Gausman / Anthony DeSclafani / Alex Wood.
Now, that's an interesting point. If the thought is, forget what our pitching coach can do to these guys, just putting him in our ballpark is going to make him half a run better ERA-wise, then maybe it makes more sense to give up less for Jose Berrios. But boy, if that means the Dodgers are going to get Max Scherzer and, like, in the three-game set. So this series, right, today, tomorrow, Thursday, the Giants will throw Logan Webb, Anthony DeSclafani, and Johnny Cueto against Urias, is it Buehler tomorrow?
Yep.
And
David Price.
David Price. Now imagine if David Price was Max Scherzer. This series just got a lot harder, didn't it?
The next 3 years just got a lot harder.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
Maybe here is the most important stat that I've seen brought up, and it's not a stat, it's a from the text line. It just says Scherzer, Buehler, Kershaw, and Urias. And
remember, no thanks.
Derek May is getting back from Tommy John.
Dylan, right?
Dustin
May, thank you.
It was definitely a D word.
Yeah, angry redhead. That is overwhelming. That is overwhelming. And it's almost one of those moves where if you're afraid the Dodgers do it, it puts even a little bit more pressure on you to do it. And honestly, you know, the whole, like, what about 3 years from now? Dude, what about it? Like, straight up.
Hey,
Straight up, what about 3 years from now? Right there. Here's where I'd get you 3 years from now. This is the old Italian, screw you. I'm not worried about 3 years from now.
I think the Giants can speak from experience when they say, if you win a World Series one of the next 2 years, 3 years from now is a free roll.
Totally. What the 3 years from now? 3 years from now. How about this? Today, you've got the best record in Major League Baseball.
Let's do this.
Today, Junior. We got an awful lot of stuff. Do you like the pressure? I told you it'd be a good one today. 888-957-9570. Fran Fraschilla is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes. No pressure. That guy knows the international game. That guy understands basketball talent and prospects, and we can't wait to talk to him. He's coming up at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, we are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
How about this? Little breaking news to share with you. Christian Yelich has tested positive for COVID. He is on the COVID IL. He is fully vaccinated. Jace Peterson, after contact tracing, also on the COVID IL. It look, kids, I know we're all supposed to be pretending that things are ready to go back to normal. Just look around and see that is officially, formally, we jumped the gun. And there are not enough good citizens allowing society to walk at its proper pace. They're slowing us back with their decisions. Everyone who is unvaccinated has turned the Delta variant into a thermonuclear weapon that is being basically London Breed, the San Francisco mayor, the other day said, look, here's how you basically need to prepare. You're going to get the Delta variant. You're going to get it. It's going to happen. So be vaccinated, because when that does happen, you're going to be very happy that you've been protected like that. So thanks, Aubrey Huff. This is all your fault.
I didn't expect you to close with that, but
it's accurate.
No, I'm not arguing. I just I didn't see that coming as your strikeout pitch. I saw the Yelich thing. I think Milwaukee is a fascinating team because they are loaded with pitchers, but now all of a sudden they might be thinking about somebody like Kyle Schwarber. Just because,
the Nationals basically said anyone but Soto.
Anyone but Soto, and they can't move Strasburg because he's hurt. But Trey Turner's on the list. So they're ready to go. The Cubs, on the other hand, I guess have indicated that Kyle Hendricks is not available and neither is Anthony Rizzo. So they're basically saying anybody else, but these two guys are the core of our franchise for the future. Also, Javi Baez is probably not going to get moved.
What are they going to do with him long term?
Watch him deteriorate?
I guess. Thank you. somebody on the text line brought this up. It says, what if you go for it? You still end up in the wild card and you lose that game. You're kind of screwed for this year and in the future. Here's the thing. If you put all your eggs in the basket of going for it this year and you don't win it all, it's called sports. That's called sports. That's what happens. You make the best move that you think will make you the strongest team. You don't not pull a trigger. Is that the right way to say it?
Sure.
You don't hesitate to pull the trigger on the right deal because of the bad that could come out of it. You just can't. You can't operate that way.
It's interesting because that's sort of a version of why, in a really tough question, when we're talking about the Warriors, I don't think I would make some of the trades that are out there, even though they're not real trades anyway. But for instance, right, the idea of Wiggins and Wiseman and both draft picks in a package for Bradley Beal, right? I don't think I would do that trade. In large part because of what this 408 texter is worried about. It's a lot to give up. And sure, you want to go for it, but at what cost? The thing is, part of that calculation for me with the Warriors is it's a lot more hypothetical. The success you might have with Bradley Beal is a lot more hypothetical than what the Giants are dealing with right now. The Giants, without Max Scherzer, have been the best team in baseball through 2/3 of the season. They're at a level where adding Max Scherzer should make them as massive a postseason threat as any other team in the sport. With the Warriors getting Bradley Beal, it's I don't know exactly where that puts them. It's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of other things to worry about. Adding Max Scherzer to the team in exchange for people who are not on the team, it's a clear value add, and it's a value add to a team that's already had the best record in baseball. So sure, anything could happen. You could still end up in the wild card and lose it, but it's a much more obvious situation to where Scherzer helps a team that's already at a highly competitive level that I think I would go for it here.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge risk, but it is a risk.
Sure.
And you have to decide whether Farhan Zaidi is going to get the blood in his nose for the third straight year and do things that sort of work against a long-term rebuild. And
he hasn't so far
he's not averse to changing the roster at any point, but he has not been willing yet to gut the prizes of that roster, which are the guys in A and double A.
He hasn't made a move.
No, I understand that. And the point is, this would be the one where you have to sort of redefine what you think of Zaidi.
But this is also the first time that were a week away from the 4 days from the trade deadline, 3 days from the trade deadline, and they're the best team in baseball.
Right. I mean, we've redefined everything.
That's right.
What the original expectations were, what the outcome for Crawford. I remember this year began, and the conversation was, so one of the best things that could possibly happen would be either for Crawford or Belt to have a nice first half, and you could finally trade one of those guys for something that, you know, that they'll really be a benefit to whoever you trade them to, and you'll get a little something back for guys who are at the end of it anyways. That's where this thing began. Look where we are. I don't want to hear about what the original game plan was anymore. We ain't there. That's not the game we're playing anymore. So Farhan pivoting to a different strategy right now isn't an admission of a new way of thinking or a complete reprioritizing the franchise's list of goals. It is reprioritizing.
Yeah, it is exactly that, but there's nothing wrong with
that. But there's a reason to. Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason to do that.
You're in position to, you know, make the idea of gutting your farm system less distasteful.
And also, I don't know that gut... Again, that's another place where this compares favorably to what the Warriors would have to do, right? If it requires all three of your youthful assets and Wiseman and the two picks to get a Bradley Beal, that's like if you literally had to trade all of your minor league teams, like all the teams, the whole teams. But in reality, you're going to have to trade one or two of your top five prospects. Like, it's not the end of the world. You'll go from something like the 11th best farm system to like the 18th best farm system. And if you draft well, you'll be back up in the top half soon enough. So for me, like, yes, there is risk, but that's really not that much risk if you think about it.
Somebody here on the text line says, Damon, you know, we've heard you sell the go for it now before. I remember you being very excited when the A's traded for John Lester. So that was a bold move. The thing that made it so curious is they traded the middle of their order to get by moving on from Cespedes. They basically robbed Peter to pay Paul. Yes, they improved their pitching staff, but they gutted their ability to score runs, which made it weird, but in the moment it happened, you could justify it. Like, Billy Beane made an argument that in the moment was easy to believe, and it looked reasonable, even though everyone knew there was a big risk being taken. It was a move that did not work out. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong move. Here's what makes the Giants situation so much different than that. The guys you're talking about, but for Joey Bart having an unsuccessful major league debut, pretty much, none of these guys have ever had a major league at bat. You're not trading the heart of your order. You're not trading Cespedes. You're trading a bunch of maybes.
There is no chance that the Giants will trade someone who's meaningful to today's team in whatever deal they end up making. So it's really different from that Lester trade.
And also, if you're Washington, you don't want anybody on the Giants every day 25 or 26 now.
Come on, you sure you don't want Brandon Belt?
You want Luciano. You want Belt. You want Ramos.
Bart. Not Belt.
You know, you'll say, yeah, we'll take your top five prospects today, and then we'll talk about, you know, else there is.
If it's if it's all five, then I'm not doing it, right? I mean, cost does matter here. And I guess there's a potential bidding war that could result in the cost becoming prohibitive or at least stupid.
Right? No. I mean, that's already happening. I mean, because...
But I don't know that the Dodgers are going to offer, like, the equivalent of the Giants' top five guys. I don't know that anyone's going to offer that for a 37-year-old pitcher.
I think they would because, one, money's no object. And even though there's a lot of deferred money in Scherzer's contract, they're willing to pay that.
Sure.
Secondly, the Dodgers have always been either ridiculously good at assembling prospects or ridiculously good at selling them. And... so right now, I think people look at the Dodgers farm system and go, yeah, that's significantly better and deeper than the Giants farm system. As a result, I think they would actually empty it out.
All right.
Well, I mean, they're trying to repeat, too. So, I mean, say that they are close is a huge understatement. So you do start getting a little aggressivo when you're trying to repeat as World Series champions. And, oh, by the way, let me welcome everyone to your 3 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.